Vincent gets him out now, and here he comes. Denon Kingley gets up the rail. Golden 60. They roar for their hometown hero. He's a length clear over Salios, running on Mother Earth. It's Golden 60. The locals can't beat him. The internationals can't beat him. This is his house. Fortress Golden 60.
But Via Sestina storms away with 150 to go. She's four, 5 lengths in front. It's going to be a puck plate round. She's 5 lengths in front. Mr. Brightside's chipping away. Pride of Jenny trying to find the reserves at the 100. She's 3 in front of Mr. Brightside. It's all too late. Pride of Jenny has run them into the ground. Zaghi joined by Animo, who looks destiny in the face. At the 150, Animo takes the lead from Zaghi. Alligator Blood, I'm Thunderstruck. But it's Animo clear. I'm Thunderstruck late. Animo holding on. Animo this time for the big A. Wicks down the middle. Kingswell Dream at the 100 is getting desperate. Now Wicks is storming home. Wicks over the top. Oh, she's too good. They can't beat her. In time I'm so untold. I'm just another soul for sale. Oh, well.
The beach is out of press. We are not permanent. G'day, listeners, and welcome back to the Racing Previews podcast. We are previewing Derby Day at Flemington, and that's right, punters, get your best black and white sorted, because this is Christmas for punters. It truly is one of the great days in racing. It's three group ones, fellas. I cannot wait for it. We've got the full cast on, the full three. Nico, I'll start with you, mate. How are you going?
Oh, fantastic. What a week it's been.
Yep, there's never a dull day in racing, and this has been one of the busier news weeks. We'll get to you in a second. Bot, looking forward to Saturday?
Yeah, man. Like, unless there was any doubt that this is the best wagering carnival on the planet, the Flemington Carnival, they have put on one of the all-time great cards to kick it off. So I am absolutely pumped.
Yeah, absolutely. I think I've only just recovered from Cox Plate weekend. It's taken a few days. Bot and I were still a little bit scratchy on Monday when we did the review.
My internet wasn't working, and I was trying to my brain wasn't working. My internet wasn't working. It just wasn't working for me on Monday night. And it was difficult. It was very difficult.
Yeah. Hopefully it still sounded all right. Hopefully everyone enjoyed our little exhibit with Dave Funt.
Yeah, thank God he was on, because otherwise it was like I wasn't able to analyze anything. I was cast.
Yeah, it would have been the blind leading the blind.
Yes.
Nico, please don't get me and Bot in trouble here, but you've got a few things you want to say about the week's events. Our shiny new toy has been scratched from the Melbourne Cup, and you're fired up.
Yeah, well, let's get out the things that are less irrelevant off the start, so we can start on a good note. My first lay-in is trainers nobbing their horses with no intention to run. There was a horse this week that we happened to have a futures ticket on that was never, ever going to the Derby, and they proceeded just to chuck a nomination in and say the following day that they were never going there. Well, what the fuck did you nominate for? This is not just because we've had a bet. This happens multiple times a year with different horses. I just don't understand why they would nominate. It costs the owners nomination fees. I know that firsthand because it's happened when we've had horses before. I understand sometimes circumstances change, but in these big races, if you've clearly outlined that you're not going and you nom, you're a bit of a joke.
So why'd you back it if it was never gone?
Well, because we backed it at the start of the preparation when that was going to be when that was a possible target. Mm.
This is headline you're speaking of. 50-1 we had in the derby. So Nico, that's the positive start. Is that right?
Well,
that's the good start.
Mooney Valley reception can still get in the bin a bit. That was still a bit of a joke last weekend. Albeit
I gave
you
the Wi-Fi password.
Yeah. Well, I had to walk 150 metres away to get a fucking bet on, so that's still not fantastic. But it was better than what it was boy and night. But credit where credit's due. It was a great day. You didn't have to wait very long to go to the toilet or to the bar. So plaudits are due there. You and the team, and I'm sure you would have organised everyone, did exactly what they needed to do, and it was a successful day. But yeah, let's address the elephant in the room.
Thank you, sir.
This fucking debacle about Jan Brugel not running. Now, this is not only because I've got a vested interest in this horse.
It is solely because you've got
to preface this.
That is the sole reason you've got to. Yes, it is.
This is international horses on a basis over fucking multiple years that I think are treated differently to other horses that are here. There's been a track record of horses such as Gold Trip Without a Fight that have supposedly had issues, haven't gone to races over the past couple of years, and have come out and duly pissed in other races. There's horses that can race in Sydney and other states that can't race in Victoria. And I know that firsthand because we've had a horse that there was multiple vets and multiple people with pieces of paper that say they've got an idea over the layman that doesn't have a certificate with a piece of paper that says they do. And there's been a common denominator with not only a horse that we've had not get to the races because, A, one person and one person only had an issue with it, but this is the same person that's, I believe, unrightfully scratched Jan Brugel off a fucking shadow on his scans. Nothing's actually come up in his scans. It's a fucking shadow. Now, I think everyone needs to understand here that Jan Brugel's a three-year-old horse. It's like scanning a 15 or a 16-year-old. His body's still developing. And his bones are growing. Of course, there's going to be a more likely chance that you're going to find something on a teenage boy or a young horse when their body is still maturing rather than an old horse. I think what's happened is a fucking joke. The whole system is a joke because you can't have horses that come over here that spend $250,000, $300,000 that come to Australia that A, can either have an MRI or not a CT before they come. They come over here and then at the fucking 11th hour, they get scratched when they have to have a CT. The whole fucking system is a joke. It needs to be flatlined that they have a CT before they come or they don't come at all because you can't have this innuendo of getting to the week before the race. The connections and the team have funded all this money to come over to the other side of the world. And then they get told that they can't run. But yet this horse could go to fucking Sydney and run. The horse is going to go to Hong Kong, hopefully. And I hope he pisses in and they fucking really stick it up, Grace Forbes. Because what's happening is a fucking joke. I hope another Aidan O'Brien horse never comes again. And I will not be watching the Melbourne Cup anymore. The race is a joke. I couldn't give a fuck who wins. It's as simple as that.
Well,
I will not be watching the
Melbourne Cup.
Has
lost
you can put it in the bin. You can put it in the bin.
The race has lost its two biggest stars in the last few days, and that is Jan Brugel and Via Sestina.
Jan Brugel and me. And I won't be watching it.
And Nico, the three stars of the Melbourne Cup, punters.
No one cares.
You can shove your race in your ass. Happy Big Dance Day.
Happy Big. I will just say, I do agree with Nico in the fact that horses are allowed to do an MRI scan back home. They don't have to do a CT scan, but then when they come to Australia, they do have to do a CT scan. So it just doesn't make sense that it's optional to do that, which an MRI scan isn't as detailed as the CT. So he's obviously passed all his MRIs back home, whatever, comes over, does his CT. We're a week out from the Melbourne Cup. As Nico said, it's definitely cost over six figures to get the horse here. Which, you know, it doesn't mean anything for Aidan O'Brien because they're rich, whatever. But
it doesn't matter how much money they've got.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the principle.
Correct.
It just shouldn't get to this, in my opinion. So many
horses, if you scanned every horse, like you listen to Moods, he said, if you scan Black Caviar, she'd be fucked. They covered her up, they got her ready for battle every single time, and as soon as she was done, she was sore. Ben, you've played sport at an elite level. Even AFL footballers, they bandage themselves up week after week. Any elite athletes, they're never 100% sound. They're always carrying something. It's no different to fucking racehorses, and it's this one stupid race a year that they scan.
Yeah,
it's fucked.
We've got to protect the face of racing, and this is the Melbourne Cup where all eyes
cancel
are on.
Cancel the race. Someone might get hurt.
There has been some deaths, but if it's going to get to this point, I don't know. Like you either let the internationals come, or you don't. And it's trending towards we won't be having any more internationals in the Melbourne Cup because Aiden won't come again. It's as simple as that. Like this will be the last straw for him. He won't be bringing any horses for the Melbourne Cup next year. This is the only horse that he actually got to a stage where he was able to come over here. And this is a promising young 3-year-old stayer. Anyway, it's disappointing, but it is what it is.
Another thing that also shits me is people think that trainers, look, there may be some trainers out there that would do it, but 99% of trainers will not put their horse in the race and allow them to race if they are not right. I know that firsthand for the involvement with the horse that we had. Our trainer said, I would not put this horse through everything to get him to the races if he was not sound and I didn't think he could go there and run to the best of his ability.
Yeah.
So the people that are seeing these horses every day have a fair bit more of an idea rather than this, I won't say what I want to say, but this idiot that gets the overruling factor, and it's been a bit of a common denominator that time and time again, she seems to know best. When at the end of the day, it's still only a fucking educated guess. So whatever. Fuck the race, I don't care.
Let's close the chapter on that.
Can I just say I completely disagree with everything what's been said, and I can't be bothered explaining why.
The words of Nico are of Nico only.
Yeah.
I want to have no shut up, Nick. I want to have no part of what's being said. I'll.
That's all right. You can sit there in the woke corner. I'll stand up and watch right what needs to be said.
I'll take no part in that. But, right. Yeah.
That's Nico's opinion segment. We let him have it, and we move on. Let's get into the races, fellas, because this is a cracking card. It's only 9 races. Which is a little bit surprising given it is a big race day. We have been having 10 lately. I think this decision is probably based on track preparations and Liam O'Keefe.
That's exactly what it is.
Not wanting to have that extra race, but still, like, I'm surprised RV would even agree to that because this is Derby Day. That's millions and millions of dollars they're leaving on the table in wagering. And I saw Tom Haylock put something out on Twitter, and it's a tough one. But at the end of the day, I sort of almost think like it's only one more race if they do have 10. And I don't know. I'm just a little bit surprised that RV are letting them run only 9 and not having the extra race, because this is, I would say, it's the best day of racing for the whole year in terms of quality, in terms of overall fields, field sizes, group ones. So yeah, I just thought that was a little bit interesting. But the track, Rail True, Flemington, first day of Cup Week Carnival. Very, very slight northerly, but I would expect it to be playing as fair as Flemington can be.
No, the track will be as perfect as track gets, and pace will dictate results.
Yep. You boys aren't betting in the first, but the first is the Carnival Club.
I depends.
1,600 metres. I'll go through it anyway. Yeah. It is a Group 3 event. Feroce is the $2.10 favourite from Aliana. $3.40. Then you're out to Stylish Secret, $10. And you've got a few that are on another profits also, $10. And then a few are on sort of $13, Acted on Verber and Hammett. Look, Feroce's got all the form on the board. If you look at the Form King Worm, it's just like this is an automatic bet. But something about this bot, something about this just feels a little bit icky, that it's almost too obvious to be true. And he has had PR after PR.
Yeah, it just seems sort of muggy, but like, I mean, it just sort of depends on what price. Like $2.40 earlier, they were sort of betting. I was like, I mean, at what price do I bet? But I'll let it go by. There's enough races this week there's enough good bets for me to have, and I don't need to plunge into one on the first race of the carnival. But I mean, like 260, 250 probably gets me, but I don't sort of really see that happening. I think the sort of is only one horse you can back. It'll be up on speed. It's a tough horse. I really like what the trainer's been doing. But he can over race, which is another thing. So they might sort of go quite slow here, and he could throw his head around, and that could be what beats him. But I think if you want to be on Ferocia, I wouldn't talk you out of it at all. It's just, I mean, what price are you comfortable taking?
Yeah, it just leaves a little bit of a nicky feeling in my mouth launching into this horse race one, not the carnival. So it's just like, it's so obvious. Like, it just looks like the one, but I don't know. Don't know if I can bring myself to be launching into a $2.10 shot in the first of 37 races or whatever it is across the week. All right, race two is the Tab Vanity. It's $7.50 the field with Zatong. The Godolphin horse, good sort, $8. Extremely Hardy's $8. A lovely cut, $9.50. Matisse, $10. Chewing Gum, $11. Two Darn Lizzie, $12. But it's run over 1,400 metres. It looks like one of the main form references going towards 1,000 guineas. Is this the race that Jolly Star won last year? It was either this one or it might have been the one on Cup Day.
Jolly Star? Yeah. Jolly Star ran second to Roland High.
Oh, did she? Roland High. Yeah.
This is the race. This is the race that Espiona won, I think.
Yeah. I think you are right. Yeah. Anyway, who are you backing?
I'm going to be on Stage and Screen, who run the hands off the clock on debut. I don't have a really strong opinion of the sort of the exposed sort of 3-year-old filly's form. It's nothing too good, I didn't think. And then the other one I'll be on as well is Lovely Cut, who draws wide, but you get Damien Lane on, and I loved what it did off of Fresh and there, ran massive splits out of a better race than against the boys. So, yeah, I mean, there's a couple of nice horses here, like Extremely Hardy is also one that I could just have something tiny on, but I mean, it's a completely open race. Like, I've got it $7.50 the field, but I think Lovely Cut and Stage and Screen are clearly the two, and I really do in particular like Stage and Screen as a bet.
Yeah. I haven't had a bet in this race yet, but I probably have to have Extremely Hardies on top. Gee, I wish J-Mac decided to ride this.
Why is he not on? That doesn't make any sense. That's weird as. I saw that John Allen riding. What is going on? He doesn't have a ride in this race.
Yeah, J-Mac's riding good sort. The other Waller horse. Yeah. I don't know. I think this is the better of the Waller horses.
I thought so too.
She's going to be on speed. She's unbeaten 2 out of 2. She draws barrier 3. Obviously, the jockeys don't know the barriers before they do it, but I thought she's been really, really solid. Both ratings she's posted compare quite well with the rest of this field. Have her just about on top. I just wish J-Mac was on, not John Allen. But anyway, that's one I might have to contend with and decide on Saturday. But $8.50, that's sort of fair enough to me. Let's move on to race three. It is the Rising Fast Stakes. 1,200 metres. This is an absolute cracker of a race. Schwartz has been well backed into $3.60 from Ray Magnero $4.60, Spacewalk $7.50, Mahaba $9.50, Charmstone $10, Star Patrol $11s, and also Pressdown $11s. Nicholas, I know you're a Schwartz fan. Is that who you're backing here?
Yeah, absolutely. I am. One of the better bets on the day.
First moral of the week salutes.
Yeah, I just think his form's a bit stronger than his rivals here. He is really good fresh, this horse. I just feel like we haven't seen the best of him, and I think this looks like a great, great placement just to kick off with a win for the preparation. J-Mac drew on the right side. Stronger form, ticks a lot of boxes for me. More than happy to be with one of the better bets of the day for me, Schwartz.
Beautiful. I've backed three horses. I backed two horses all in. They were Pressdown at $16 and Mahaba at a very big price of $26. Pressdown, this horse has actually been rating very, very well. And even though, his last win in Adelaide, you look through the form of it and it's not fantastic. He does have some big figures over here. He won that country discovery race and he ran the hands off the clock that day. He's going to settle nice and forward here from barrier three in a race where there doesn't look a whole lot of tempo outside of maybe Jungle Jim. Mahaba, I thought this horse was huge last start at Caulfield against the sort of bias. Ran home very, very good late splits in behind Bellatrix Star, who goes to a Coolmore. Went around 50-1 there, but this is a horse who actually usually improves into his preparation once he gets a bit more fitness, and his ratings stack up incredibly well with the rest of the field as well. So I'm on those two, but I was able to secure $5 for Ray Magnerio, and for mine, he just has to be the top tip. He was a tragedy beaten behind Estriella last start, over 1,000 metres, got balked out for a run, probably at the 300, had to come around them, and probably about 10 metres past the post, he's flying straight past Estriella. I think up to 1,200 metres is perfect. I'm a little bit worried that my three horses have drawn 2, 3, and 4, and Schwartz could just have the unimpeded run down the outside, but I'm happy just to maybe exact a saver off there. I think they are the main four chances in the race, but Ray Magnerio is on top from Mahaba and Prestion. Will?
Yeah, Schwartz looks slightly short to me. I want to be on Press Down. Ray Magnera, I think you maybe get a better price. And I think third up down the straight really suits him. Back up to 1,200 metres. I think at 1,200 metres is his best trip. He was unlucky last time at Caulfield, but he was sort of chasing the whole way. And I just don't think 1,000 metres really suited him at all. So I'll be on Ray Magnera, hopefully at about $556. And the other one I want to have something on as well at massive odds is Jungle Jim, who can take a few runs to get fit, but once he does get fit, he runs them into the ground, and he might just be able to do that here at Flemington. So at 7-1, you probably get hundreds on the day. I think I'll just have something tiny on him. He's good enough to be in the finish here at least, I would have thought.
Yeah. Whenever I do form for a straight race, you always want to see where the speed is drawn. And Jungle Dream is in 9 and Schwartz is in 10. I think that does help Schwartz's chances a lot because he can just sort of follow Jungle Jim into the race. But yeah, nonetheless, I'm happy with the prices of my three currently. And hopefully, as Bot said, we might even get better for Ray Magnera, might be able to cash out and take better odds. Race 4 is the Damien Oliver. It is the Lynn Lithgow, renamed, obviously, the Damien Oliver this year. It's over 1,400 metres. It's an absolute cracker, and it sees Kieran Mars, two up-and-comers in Jimmy Star and Another Will go head-to-head. Jimmy Star is $2.80. Another Will will be flying along with the angel of Cole McKenna on his shoulder is $2.90. Mighty Ulysses is $7.50. Tamerlane, $9, but also in Sydney. And Nicolini Vito is $12. Nico, I'm going to start with you, mate.
Yeah, I think not only for the beautiful narrative that it would be for Cole McKenna to have a winner in his colours looking down on one of his favourite horses on the weekend, but I do think Another Will can bounce back. Obviously, I'm happy to forgive last start. Obviously, he underperformed, but the market didn't think that he would. He was absolutely steamed in betting. I was quoting to say the only reason this horse will get beat was because the jockey will slaughter it. Well, the jockey didn't really do too much wrong on him. He was beaten by a really good performance, but I do love that Jamie Carr goes back on. This is a horse that she's ridden for most of his career at the better level. So yeah, I'm happy to have her on board, and I think she'll put him in the right spot. I've got a question mark over Jimmy Star. I know he's going really good, but I just think that he's been beating inferior horses to the ones that Another Will has. So yeah, this is obviously a fair step back in grade for Another Will, and yeah, I think he should be able to make a winning account on the weekend. And what a story it would be.
Yeah, it definitely would be some story. And it's going to be a popular horse in betting, no doubt. Will, how do you sort of assess these two? Because Jimmy Star comes in with the best weight-adjusted figure last start. You know, adjusted to this weight, he's going to 102. but he's probably the map negative horse drawn in 10, and another wheel is just going to sit right on the bunny in 2. Do you think he can bounce back?
Yeah, I mean, he ran that massive figure last time, Jimmy Star, but you know, there's that massive expected rating in the SP there in the Toorak, another wheel, and I was sort of my hands were tied with earlier. Jimmy Star was 350, and I've just noticed it's 280 now. I haven't backed it, so I will let that one go straight to the keeper, unless it gets back out. But I was hoping to be on Jimmy Star, but not anymore, it seems. But I think Jimmy Star has just slightly the edge. And he was really bad last time on the wheel. They went quickly, but it wasn't absurd. And I thought he was disappointing for at least what the market expected him to do. So I probably can't back him off that run at that sort of price. And I was just sort of get a back Jimmy Star because 350 was way too big, but I didn't get around to it. And it's 280 now, so I'll leave that one.
Yeah. I don't actually think this is as cut and dry as a two-horse race, which is sort of what the market has it down to. Not quite, but I was able to secure $26 for Tamerlane all in. Godolphin horse who does have good Flemington 1,400-meter form, gets J-Mac, draws really well. I think he's going to run super. And if he runs to his best form and the others aren't quite at their best, then he can give them a shake. I do notice there's a bit of 18-1 about Nicolini Vito. And if you look at his second last run and the one before that, he gets in incredibly well here with 53.5 kilos. So I think he's not the worst chance at odds either. I haven't really decided which way I'm going to go of the two favorites. If I am to have a bet on one of those, I'd probably lean Jimmy Star right now. You know, this is the Rupert Clark Stakes favorite. I just think the map is a little bit awkward. He's going to be getting back here from barrier 10 and unless Blake Shin can sort of work his magic. So yeah, probably just still deciding. But if you're taking an early quaddie, please take number 3 and 7 because, you know, another wheel was quite poor last start. Jimmy Star might come off his second up run and then all of a sudden it is left a bit more wide open. So that's how I am seeing race 4.
Yeah, sorry, just one more. Yep. Sorry, I thought there was signs of life there with Stepardi on the backup. I could have something on him. In fact, I probably will have something on him. I think he's way too big.
All right, sweet. Stepardi out of the chair for Bot. Race 5, it is the Wakeful 2,000 metres. This is a group 2 for the fillies, and it is the main lead-up to the Oaks. Powers of Opal is $2.70 favourite from Treasure the Moment, $4.40. Jenny's Meadow is $6.50. Killcare Beach Girl, $11. And Inevitable Truth is $11. This is the best bet of the day, punters. Number 5 is Powers of Opal. Went to Hawkesbury last start and got a big confidence-boosting win. You don't see J-Mac go to Hawkesbury very often, but he was actually in Melbourne
after riding stuff with us. Sistina in the morning.
Yeah, he was at Moonee Valley that morning doing some stuff with us, and he shot up to Hawkesbury, rode this at $1.20. She bolted in by 5.5 lengths. She's got stayer written all over her by Ocean Park, who is a good producer of stayers, gets to 2,000 metres. I think she's just going to monster him over this final 400 metres. And I'm going to have a hamburger with a lot. Number 2 Treasure of the Moment, I put it out on Twitter today, is my lay of the day. I think she had everything in her favour last start over the mile. She was only the third fastest last 200 metres of that race. And her pedigree is it's all sprinting. Alabama Express, you look through, you know, damn sire. I just think that it's going to have a real task running a strong 2,000 metres and beyond. So I'm happy to be against it. I can understand the backing in terms of its ratings, but for mine, Powers of Opal is just going to go to a whole new level that these can't match, and I would actually have Jenny's Meadow as the second favourite.
Yeah, I thought it's the one you've got to be on early because I think it'll be well-backed throughout the week. And I think it'll probably jump 230, 240. I think it'll get a nice enough map from an inside draw. It'll go quick enough. Time was good last time. It just comes through the right form against the Melbourne. You know, the Melbourne sort of fillies form isn't that hot at all, and this is just the one that can improve sharply. Or not, it doesn't even really need to improve. I just think it'll. I think it's more like a 230, 240 shot, and I think it's a great bet at 280.
Sweet as. I've also taken the double with it to win this into the Oaks. I was able to get about $9 on Ladbroke. So if you do like her in the Oaks, you may as well take the double, because if she wins this, then she's going to be starting a similar price in the Oaks anyway.
Okay. I also thought Chocolates was slightly big at, you know, 30, so I think you probably get better as well. Run nice splits. You look at the ratings, they're not necessarily competitive at all, but there was just some the time was really nice, I thought.
Yep.
Yeah, she is a complete and utter moral, Powers of Opal, and she will not get they won't get anywhere near her on Thursday either. Yep, she's a proper filly. I'd probably back her to beat the boys, to be honest. That's the sort of opinion I reckon I've got of her. But yeah, they won't get within Q-E of her. She's a nice filly. And she'll hose up again on Thursday. So there you go. There's your best bet of the week.
Beautiful. Love it. We all align there. Race 6, it is the first leg of the quaddy, and probably should have prefaced the podcast by saying this, but we know it's Derby Day. It really is Coolmore Stud Stakes Day, because this is one of the best races all year round, and this year's edition is no different. You've got horses coming from Everest. You've got horses coming through the Manicato. You've got different form lines through Sydney. You've got a horse that's beaten the older horses last start at Caulfield, and then you've got a few others who are intertwined as well. It's an absolute cracker, and I can't wait to dissect it. Growing Empire is the $3.80 favorite. From Traffic Warden is $4.20. Switzerland, $6. Bellatrix Star, $8. Lady of Camelot, $9. First Settler, $13. And Coleman, $16. Will, what do you think of the map to start? I think it's probably a little bit up in the air.
There's a bit of speed on. I don't do maps, but looking at the, I do pace. I think the pace will be strong. I think probably, I guess Growing Empire sort of leads, and Lady Camelot will be there. There's a few of these that'll be want to be up there. I think they'll go at a good pace in this, and the best ones will sort themselves out. I think Growing Empire will have benefited from being in real races against the older horses, but you know that. What in saying that, they didn't go overly quickly in the Everest this year, and I think he's a little bit short at the price he is. I love him, but he just seems a bit short. And Traffic Warden, you know, not exactly ideal being scratched at the gates of the Everest. And I just really liked what Switzerland did in the. I've never really had an opinion of Switzerland, but I just really really liked what he did in the. I don't know what race it was, but. Sort of, he did cut the corner and everything. The splits were there, and he's only third up, and I just think he's the horse that can just really go. And I think, you know, J-Max on, and yeah, he's the one for me in the Coolmore. I think it's all sort of perfect for him, and I think he get a bit better. I'm not really sure what the market does in this. Maybe it might gravitate towards him. I'm not sure. I'll also be on Coleman and Gatsby's. I think the price for the two of them, they ran nice splits there. I'm backing that form line, which is kind of interesting. I just like the splits they run in that race and the margins there, and Growing Empire. I think his direct form lines sort of not oversell what he's done, but I think he might have reached his level, and I could be completely wrong. He could come out and take that next step. You know, he's like Home Affairs a few years ago, raced in the Everest and sort of fell out the back, but he was beaten, and then he went to the Everest and he went to the Coolmore and had the experience, but I just sort of don't see that next step for him. So, and Traffic Warden is not an ideal prep, and I still think he's just that. I think he might be 1400 meter mile. I don't think he's a. I still don't think he's quite a 1200 meter horse. I could be wrong though. Switzerland, Coleman, and Gatsby's for me in the Coolmore. I thought Bellatrix Star looked short. At $9, it's interesting.
So you're with the Roman console form.
Yes, which is interesting because I just like that race for whatever reason.
Yep. Nico, I know you're a fan of Switzerland. Are you following in with your boy?
Yeah, sure am. It was good to me last time, and I can't see why he won't again. Obviously, he's coming from a bit of a different pathway to a few of the others, but he is the fresh horse on the scene. He is drawn the right part of the track. And, Jay McEnroe, this has been a race that they've had a bit of success in the past. So I love the fact that he didn't go to the Everest and they sent that pretty boy Storm Boy there instead. Because I just don't think Switzerland needed to go there. This is his race. Perfect. The horse that I really wanted to back, but only three is Traffic Warden. He's the horse, obviously, I thought was pick of the three-year-olds in the Everest before getting scratched at the gates. And the way that the race panned out, I thought he would have ran a very big race. So, I'm sticking to my guns with Growing Empire. I love the horse, but I made it pretty clear that I wasn't happy with what they were doing. And I think it's too much to ask of a young horse. And, so if he wins, no worries, but I'm sticking to my guns here, and I wasn't happy with what's happened, so I'm staying against. But, yeah, Switzerland on top for me. Don't know what I'm going to do with Traffic Warden. I don't love the inside gate, but I might just have to have something small on him to cover my ass because I'd be shitty if he won.
Yep. My hands are tied with bets that I've already got placed. I took Growing Empire to win the McNeil into the Coolmore a couple months ago. It was about 20-1. He's run third in the Everest. He gets Mark Zahra back on board. He's got the straight track form and he gets a dry track, which I think he'll really, really love. He is fifth up and there is always that question mark about whether they've gone one too many, but he still has to be firmly on top in my opinion. Traffic Warden, well, who knows? It might actually be a blessing in disguise that he hasn't gone around in that Everest. He hits this third up. He's going to go forward. So both Growing Empire and Traffic Warden are natural sort of on-speed-ish horses. If you look at the ratings, he does rate on top. I know some of that might be potential to be aided by the race strength coming through the Run to the Rose and the Golden Rose, which rated well as a whole. But I ended up backing him at $6.50. We ended up taking that price when the news came around that Growing Empire probably wasn't going to be running, but he is here. So those are my top two picks. I've also had something tiny on Gallant Sun. He's probably disappointed by market expectation the last few starts, but Moods is pretty confident. He's a nice animal, so hopefully he can improve a bit as well. In terms of Aquati Lads, we're taking Growing Empire, Traffic Warden, Switzerland, Coleman, Gatsby's.
Yep.
I don't know. Lady of Camelot is hard to knock as well. She was pretty good in the Everest.
She'll be there, but I don't know. I doubt she takes that next step. I think one of them will take the next step.
Yeah.
I'm just not sure that it's going to be Lady of Camelot. I think she's sort of not leveled out, but I think she's sort of found her level.
Yeah. Well, hopefully for your boy's sake, not for mine, it is another big home affairs-like win for Coolmore and Switzerland in the Coolmore. Let's get to the main race. I wouldn't call it the main race, but it's what that is named after. It is the Group 1 Victoria Derby. It's over 2,500 metres. El Castello is the $3.50 favourite after winning the Spring Champion from King of Thunder, $6. Red Ace is $7.50. Keeneland is $10. Golden Guru, or Gold Rush Guru, I should say, is $12. And Politely Done's $13. Will, a lot of these horses are on the backup, which is super interesting, given a lot come through the Vars and the favorite comes through the Spring Champion last week. So it's a big ask for a three-year-old stepping from 2,000 to 2,500 meters within the 7 days. But you are keen on this race.
Yeah, I really like it. It's these horses might be pretty slow, but it's a great betting race, and I think they'll go quickly in here in this race. So in the best will sort of separate them from the week. With that said, I thought it was going to be way more against El Casello than what I was, thought he's come up a. I've got him $4 or thereabouts anyway. I sort of thought he was going to go up like 280 after winning the spring champion. But you know the 360 is a bigger price than a sort of.
It's the barrier.
And that could be the undoing of him too, because I think a lot of them will push up, and it's only a short run to the first turn. So I mean, if they dog it, I don't think they've got. If they snick it, I think it'll have none. But I don't think they will, because the horse has got speed. It's bred to run. I don't know. It's bred to run a mile and a half, but it's by Castelvecchio, so it should. You know, it's bred to run 2,000 at least. So. Yeah, I'm not going to be on it, but I'm surprised by the price. The horses I will be on though is Saint Emilion, who comes through the Geelong race, and he just hammered them. They snicked him. They went at a decent enough pace, and the last 400 meters was he just absolutely hammered. He was only lightly raced. He's quickly improving. I will 100% be on him. He's from the family of Typhoon Tracy, so he's got a page behind him too. He's by Snitzel, but you know, he gave every indication that he'll stay the trip in the Geelong Cup. So I would be on him at $15. That's a great price.
Geelong also, Classic.
Yeah, what did I say? Did I say Geelong Cup? Anyway. China Sea is the other one. I will be on it too. In you know, it's Fastnet Rock from a Dalakani mare. I liked what it did at Caulfield. I like the splits. You know, it was slowly run, so there's also that sort of query. With it, you know, getting up to the trip, you want to be fit, especially against a lot of horses that are on the back up. But I can see it being a sharp improver, and it can settle 40. You know, first up it ran really nice splits, and then in a slowly run race, and then sort of got chinned second up, and then it went well third up. It might just be a horse that can sprint nicely, but I want to back it here. And I also want to be on King of Wall Street as well. So, you know, it's got a nice page behind it too, but... Yeah, I just wasn't really impressed by the VAR. So Red Aces, you know, I've got it $11. I've got Keeneland $11, and you know what else? King of Thunder. No, I mean it's $7.50. I've got it at $14. So, yeah, I'm actually quite keen on, especially Saint Emilion and China Sea. I really, really like those two.
Sweet, a bit of value for Bot Disciples. I backed Al Costello at $4.20 in the All Ins. Obviously, Henline nominated, and we knew he wasn't going to run, so I took a bit of percentage out there, and I just thought, you know, this is a great bet if he doesn't draw Barrier 18, and what happens? He draws Barrier 18. It's always the way. I thought he was outstanding winning the spring champion last week. Henline got to him at the 250 and looked like he might have gone straight past him, but the thing I love about Al Costello is every time he's been challenged this preparation, he's shook them off. And he's run straight through the line like a very good horse. I've got no issue with him running the 2,500 meters here by Castelvecchio. The big issue is just the draw. I mean, he either gets sent forward from 18, uses up a few carats early, or he gets snicked and he's got a lot of work to do. And I don't think he's a sort of turn of foot horse. He wants to be up there in the firing line and holding them off late. So, you know, my hands are tied. I've already got a price there. I've already backed Red Aces at $13 all in. I think I said a few weeks ago on the podcast, a bit of a prediction, this will be Nick Ryan's first Group 1 winner, and that'll be the headline. I still wish and hope for that to be the headline. I think the bump in the VARs at the 200 actually cost him more ground than the inside horse, and I think he would have won a lot easier had he not copped that interference. So he's a horse that I think will stay all day. He's by a done deal. He's got Flemington 2,500 meters written all over him, and he's drawn barrier four to get a sweet run. So those are my clear top two picks. I do think Keeneland will bounce back. Copped a very slow race shape last start. This is a horse who beat Red Aces two back, and I just don't think that dawdling tempo worked out for him. He probably got a little bit keen, and before you know it, the horses had swept past him and gone past him in the straight. So you just have to look at that SP there. He started $2.20 and now you're getting double figures. So he's another one that goes in the quaddy for mine is as well. Nico?
Rinse and repeat from last week for me. I'm backing the same two horses. I thought Red Aces was super last week. I got no problem with him getting 2,500. He's going to put himself in a good position with barrier four. Yeah, I'm buying into he is the horse to beat. I don't really. I think El Costello is the lay of the day. From barrier 18, just like where the fuck does he go? If he manages to get to the front, he's going to have to burn a lot of carrots. And he's just a horse that I want to oppose. So he's the lay of the day for me. Keen to be with Red Aces. And I thought Politely Done, he ran probably as well as he could last week. He got a long way back and a tight turning short straight track. He's probably not going to be to his liking like last week. And I still thought he was pretty gallant in defeat. He's a horse that, albeit it was a maiden, but he really looked a different horse when he got to Ballarat on a big track with a big straight, which is pretty much what he's going to find here on Saturday. I think 2,500 will be no issue for him. And yeah, I'm just happy to rinse repeat the two horses that I was with last week, and I think they're both at very respectable prices.
Sweet. Let's go to race eight. It is the Empire Rose. Number one is a tissue. She's the $4.40 favorite from Amelia's Jewel, $5. New rider, J Carr. Orchestral, $7. Plenty of ammo off the last week win. Was really good winning the Crystal Mile, $7.50. Elsafina, $11. Kamachi, $12. And Rev Miss is $15. The other one I probably should mention is Zardozi. I actually love that she's coming here. And then we'll go straight to the Melbourne Cup. You know, this is probably an absolute barrier trial. She'll get back from 11 and just run on, but it's all about pumping miles into the legs, and it might be a bit of James Cummings doing the old Bart and, you know, just trying to get a bit more fitness into them before they tackle the 2 miles. Nico, you want to go first?
Yeah, well, I think they're going back to what sort of worked for them last year. She went super on the back up from the Wakeful into the Oaks, so... They know that the quick turnaround for a horse like her is no issue. So, yeah, plaudits to them for what they're doing. But, look, I respect that Etishu is a great Flemington horse and she's probably the best horse in this race. My narrative on the race has probably changed a little bit due to the way that my book is built now. Unfortunately, Protogeny lost to King Charles, so I don't have the fat result into Etishu into this race at the big odds like I did. So I can still probably have something on a tissue, but the horse that I really want to back, and I just think all their best form was this way of going before she went to Sydney, and I just don't think she's ever been the same horse when she's been in Sydney, albeit she's had a few excuses in certain runs, but Amelia's Jewel gets Jamie Carr, which is a horse that I think will suit her. She's, you know, she's a bit of a quirky horse. Barrier 2, blinkers going on, and I just think back the right way of going, I think we might see a completely different horse to the horse that we've seen in Sydney, who, albeit she might not be as good as what we all once thought, but I think she's going to be given every possible chance to show up and say that she's still with us and she still can be that really good horse that we all thought she was once upon a time. The horse that I think... is probably a little bit big in the market, but it just shows the quality of the race is Elsafina. She never runs a bad race. She's only missed a placing once in her career, albeit most of her career she was racing lesser horses in WA, but she's taken this whole prep by storm since she's been here. She's been running so consistent, so well, and it would not surprise me to see her run a massive, massive race. I'd love to see Geordie win another Group 1 on Plenty of Ammo, and obviously you can't knock on Kestrel, but I think... I wouldn't be going here with Orchestral. I would have saved her for the Matriarch. But she still may go there. But to me, she just is a horse that she's just really good at 2,000 metres and there'll be a few horses too quick for her at the mile. So she's probably the horse that I think is too short, but it wouldn't surprise me if any of those four horses that I mentioned before that won.
Yeah, I agree with that. Etishu is actually my second best bet of the day, guys. I think she's just been slowly, slowly building into her better form this preparation. I thought she was really good last start, taking ground off Deny Knowledge and Mr. Brightside in the Might and Power Stakes. She's not a Caulfield horse. She's definitely a Flemington horse. And her return on investment at Flemington and with James McDonald in the saddle is absolutely through the roof. If you look at her overall career sort of statistics, she ran huge in this race last year behind Pride to Jenny. I think she's going to get a genuine tempo again with Grinzinga Bell cutting along good sections out in front. And I actually like the barrier draw in 9. She can sort of just get back to midfield or just a little bit worse than that And with this slight northerly, it's not the big southerly like we've had at Flemington and in carnivals gone by, which does assist the leaders a lot more. I think she's going to get her chance to balance up and show that she is the best horse. Back to her $11. Amelia's Jewel, we took at $8 a few weeks back as well, or maybe even a month back. She's probably not going to her absolute best right now, but maybe drawn barrier to Jamie Carr, as Nico said, back to Flemington, a track she has won at over the mile. She definitely has to be the second pick. Orchestral, she's a lay. She's a horse that's looking for more ground. I know she was unlucky last start in that Toorak handicap, but I just think the race for her is the matriarch, as Nico alluded to. And $7, although she gets big boy Mark Zara, is too short. So I think 1, 2, and 13, plenty of ammo. Another one we've taken all in, 26. It was really good last start. Beat the boys, obviously. I think she probably still has to elevate off that to be beating a tissue, but she's probably next best and she draws really well. But, yeah, I'm super keen on a tissue. I think I could mark her even shorter than the $4.40. Will?
I'm going to be on AJ, Amelia's Jewel. I thought, you know, you look at the market expectation, just slowly, slowly dwindling down. You know, she was, everyone sort of, you know, the market had her going to massive, massive levels. She hasn't really ever gotten to that. But I think all she really needs to do is just get back to her best form. She smashes them. So I thought last start was a race that she can really bounce off, and I think she's fourth up here, and I think she's ready to go. So I'm going to be on Amelia's Jewel, and I think she's.
I know, but
I think you probably get $6 on the day, and I think it's a great bet.
I know Bot doesn't believe in these things, but I do think there's a lot of merit in this Melbourne way of going. Like, it was the way that she was used to for so long, and I just don't think she's ever been the same horse going the other way of going. Whether that was because of what happened in the Golden Eagle when she nearly died, or I don't know, but I just think she's going to explode on Saturday back the right way of going.
Yeah.
No, I don't know about that, but I think in a mile.
She's definitely second pick for me, and I might end up having a little bit more on her come Saturday. She's probably going to get the right run from two. Jamie Carr, I don't know if she's the right booking for Amelia's Jewel, but I guess we'll find out on Saturday.
Jamie Carr's a good jockey.
Absolutely, she is, but she doesn't suit every single horse, especially from low draws. Furphy Sprint, race 9, Pondalowie is $4.80 favorite after the really good run last start behind Neonce. Sons Dutes, $5.50. Ferrari, $6.50. A Little Deep, $7. Isthmus, $11. Then you're out to Infancy, $13. And Kin is $15. Am I on my own here? I think I am. I've backed a few horses, as I always do, but I'm actually going to have Sons Dute on top. I'm going to give her another chance because I think I've got her wrong the last few starts. She is a turn-of-foot horse and a good one at that. We've seen her absolutely explode down the Flemington Straight on dry ground, and she now gets James McDonald in the saddle. We're able to secure $9 for her all in. I just don't think she's appreciated that choppy ground the last few starts, and she's going to get every opportunity here. So, you know, Pondalowie was good last start. Ferrari, she's been doing awesome things as well, but Ferrari does have that fail down the Flemington Straight, so that is worth noting. Sons Dute is on top. I've also backed Isthmus. Isthmus started shorter than Pondalowie last start there at Caulfield. I think she'll be a big improver back on dry ground. I love that Blake Shin is going back on board, maybe on board for the first time, I should say. And yeah, I just thought Pondalowie was, she was definitely way too short in the all-in. I think she was about the $3.50 favorite. But I just think this race is a lot more even. So 3 and 17 are my main two results. I think you can put a pen through a little deep. I think she's starting to be on the downward spiral now. I've also had something on Cigar Flick, the Waller horse. She's been trialing excellently. Danny St. Darcy, don't leave her out of your quaddie. She should have just about beaten Alentia last start. Was climbing all over their heels, and she's come a long way. It's crazy to think Danny St. Darcy could be taken out a race like this, but I think she can. And two, just to keep an eye on as improvers might be Wild Bale the six for Luke Fernie and Damian Lane, and Extremely Rowdy right down the bottom at 100-1. Just keep an eye on out on them. I know they've got a lot of talent. It might not be their day on Saturday, but yeah, I reckon they might be able to outrun their SP. All right. Any other thoughts on Flemington?
Not really, no.
All right. We're probably only going to do the two races, unless Nico's got more. No, just the two races up in Sydney. Up to Rose Hill Gardens. Let me just load up this track information. There is a little bit of rain on the Thursday coming to Sydney, but hopefully it dries out. The rail is in the true position, so I'm thinking fair as Rose Hill can be, hopefully anyway. Sydney tracks have been playing okay the last few weeks, and hopefully more of the same. Race 7 is the Russell Boulding. It was previously named after the previous year's Everest winner, and I think it's an absolute travesty that this race is not called the Think About It Stakes this year. And it's a big missed opportunity because obviously what happened on Everest Day, he almost lost his life, but he didn't, and it would have been a great sort of race to celebrate him. But nonetheless, it's the Russell Boulding. It's 1,300. Ballinipatina's into $2.40. Sunshine in Paris, $5. Private Eye, $6.50. IME, $9.50. King of Sparta, $10. And Marzu, $12. Nicholas, who do you like in this race, mate?
Oh, I think there's only one horse that can possibly win the race. Bella. She just looks to tick all the boxes here. Barrier 4, it's a good run. 1,300 metres is no issue for her. Yeah, she's just ever so consistent, and she's pretty much the only horse that you can definitely trust that, you know, that's going to show up and give you 110%. But Private Eye from gate one, that's no good for him. Sunshine in Paris is a really good fresh horse. You know, she's only going to be here 2 weeks after the Everest, and she ran okay in the Everest, but you know, I don't love the quick turnaround for her. She's a horse that likes her races spread. I just think that Ballinipatina is a great bet, and if you were dead serious and you wanted to get aggressive, you could mark her like short, like even money sort of short.
Yeah, I don't disagree at all, mate. There was $3 around for all in. I just thought, you know what, she'll probably be not that much worse than that final field, so I didn't take it.
She's never really, a horse against like overbet or respected in the marketplace as much as she should. Really, she's always like decent odds.
She's only fourth up here. She's drawn barrier four for Craig Williams, so she's going to get the right run. She didn't really get the right run in the Everest. She drew 12 of 12. She was wide and working. I know the tempo wasn't that fast, so it made it a lot easier for her. And I've got no problems with the ride that Craig gave her, but she still beat him quite comfortably, bar gear kick. 1,300 metres is no problem. In fact, her best runs probably actually come at 1,300 metres and 1,400 metres. She won this race last year beating Private Eye and Think About It, and I think she's going to do the job again. So, yeah, she's the best bet of the day in Sydney anyway.
Really? I thought she was sort of, you know, she's so consistent, but I just sort of thought she was, it was perfect. Like, she was wide with no sort of, she was in the right spot.
But who the fuck's going to beat her here, bot?
Who's going
to
beat her?
I wouldn't be surprised if Sunshine in Paris or Private Eye beat her.
Barrier one is not good for Private Eye.
No. And Sunshine in Paris goes best fresh, and she's fucking 2 weeks off an ordinary run.
I think she goes best fresh because...
Oh, she was good in Everest.
She goes best fresh because she's got loads of issues. I think if she's here, then she's not, you know.
I don't know. I just
think you're break down.
You're taking a leap of faith back in anything other than Bella in this race, and you've taken a massive leap.
Yeah, I just think Ballinipatina is going to run to her last start number, and that's probably going to be good enough to win this. She might not blow them away by two lengths because she's not really that type of horse, but I think her nose will be in front when they hit the line. Race 8 is the Golden Eagle, and this is a cracking addition, really. You've got international flavour. You've got horses coming out of 1,200-metre races. You've got horses coming back from a mile. it's a belter. Ascoli Piceno is the Japanese favorite, draws barrier 17. If you're wondering why she's got 54.5 kilos, it's because she's still a three-year-old, Northern Hemisphere time. So just take note there for the difference in weights. She's $4.
Well, that doesn't make any sense, does it? Because it's a four-year-old race. So how are they going to do that?
Yeah. Well,
That's so stupid.
It's four-year-old our time, but three-year-old their time.
Yeah, I know. But, like, if you can have a four-year-old race only, keep it to that.
A lot of the
rules. I've just realised that. That makes no sense.
A lot of the things on the world stage don't make a hell of a lot of sense, Pop. But that's the fucking shitty world we live in.
Mate, that is... Anyway, interesting.
One set of rules for another.
What, are you going to tell PVL he can't have international horses coming over for the Golden Eagle?
I think it's great. I don't think it'll matter that she's got the weight that she does. I think she'll fucking smoke him anyway.
Anyway, Jolie Star's $5. She started favourite in an Everest, would you believe it? She's $5 here. Lizette is $6. Tom Kitten, $9.50. Steffi Magnetica, $9.50. And Southport Tycoon, $13. Won a Manicato this preparation, and he's $13 in the Golden Eagle. Nico, it's a cracker, but I've got a feeling you're with the Land of the Rising Sun.
Yeah, well, I thought it was going to rise from there last week, but we saw one of the best performances I've seen.
He won. He won by 2.5 lengths. There was just another horse that was 8 in front.
It's funny. Who said that during the week? I can't remember.
I said it. I actually said I can see him winning by 2.5. I was half right.
No, someone referred to... I don't know. Was it Dave or someone else?
This is
when Hartnell. John O'Shea said it. When Hartnell got beat by so far, he beat the others by that much. He would have thought he won anyway. So they were like, "Oh, prognosis will go home thinking he's won anyway, so it won't matter." I found that fucking hilarious. But anyway, the barrier is a bit of a but. That's probably why you're getting the price you're getting now. But you just trust that Joe figures it out. All reports are she's one of the best horses in Japan, and she's got quite a few links on Oban Burmah. We saw what he did last year. Arguably, this race is probably just as good. But if she is better than him, well, she's going to take a stack of beating no matter what barrier she draws. I don't know anything about this French horse, and there's some reasonable horses here that we know, but you see it time and time again, these international horses that are B and C graders over in their countries come over here and they beat what we perceive to be our better horses. Well, she's A grade in Japan, so she's going to take a stack of beating here.
Yeah.
They talk about it like she's one of the best horses in Japan, so if that's the truth and she's coming here, well... They might all be running for second.
Yeah, I can put a little bit of context on this because I do follow the Japanese form a bit. She is in the top two to top three three-year-olds in Japan. She only narrowly got beaten by the two-year-old of the season in a horse called Janta Manta in May this year. She's now turned three. But her SPs, they started locked in at $2.90 equal favourites in that race. She was only just narrowly touched off there by about two lengths, I think. She also has form around another very, very good Japanese juvenile in Stellenbosch. And then last start, her first run as a three-year-old, she blew the hands off the absolute clock. She started $1.50 in a group three, and she ran all over them late. This horse, if you ask Japanese people, they would have this horse much higher rated than Prognosis. I know she probably hasn't done that yet. Bot, but in terms of where they think she's going to get to, they would rate her higher than Prognosis in terms of where they're going to finish up in their career. So that is just a little bit of the quality. That is the quality that they think she is and what she's going to be. So Barrier 17 is a little bit annoying, but she's the one to beat. She's on top for mine. I think we're going to see something pretty cool in the final 400 metres because Joe knows her well and they're going to be going for it hammer and tong down the final 400 metres. I don't think he has ridden her before, but he has ridden against her. Lazat is clear second pick. This horse is unbeaten, 6 out of 6. And I think the great thing about backing both these internationals is you're going to have Ascoli Piceno back in the field and you're going to have Lazat sitting there right on the speed from barrier 12. He'll go forward. The numbers that he is running, I think he's actually, in terms of time form ratings, he's actually on top of Ascoli Piceno. And the 1,500 metres holds no fears for me. If this had been a wet track, then you'd just automatically be marking him favourite because, you know, these French horses, they absolutely swim, which he has done as well. But he's done it on good. He's done it on soft and he's done it on heavy. So, yeah, I've got no issues there. They're clearly picks 1 and 2 for me. Will?
Me?
Are you backing anything?
Nah, I don't even know half the horses. Who is Ascoli Piceno? Who is Lazat? Like, I don't know.
Look, I think it's a cracking race. Like, there are Tom Kitten was awesome last start. Steffi Magnetica, like, how can you knock what she did 2 starts ago? But, yeah, I just got a feeling that the cream might rise to the top here.
V8 looks big. 60s. You want a George Ryder. He's been bad this prep, like.
Yeah, but he hasn't fucking been able to get into a race. And he's really not going to be able to again. J-Mac said he felt good last start, but like he was 25 off him and got within, what did he get within, like 5 or something. But like if they go forward, they can just, there's enough speed in this race, they can just cook him again. Like it's just a prep to forget.
They'd want to be good, these internationals, because I think Jolly, like, she's sort of favourite in Everest. Like, and she runs a mile, we've seen it. She sprints a mile. Like, they would want to be good.
Southport just drawn horribly. I really wanted to find him, but fuck.
Okay, she's $6, it makes sense. But what she did first up, and, you know, she was in the Everest, she was, you know, the splits say she should have been in the finish anyway.
She's a ripping horse. I do think James McDonald is the horse for Jolly Star, and I do think K-Mac on, you lose a length with her. But nonetheless, she's probably the best of the local chances. I just think these internationals might be a little bit special. I haven't given my plug yet, so I'll give it here. Sign up to the 6-day. We do have Lazat at $13. We've got Ascoli Piceno at $7. And we've also got Jolly Star, $13. Probably should have had a bit more on her, but it's more of a saver to a lesser result. But yeah, it's going to be an absolute cracker, the Golden Eagle. Do we know if it's Group 1? I don't know if it officially got granted that status yet.
No idea.
I'm not sure.
Open set weights, 4-year-old.
Yeah, so maybe they didn't get that one over the line yet, but... Anyway, lads, around the grounds, Friday, Sunday, what do you got for us?
Well, there's a couple at Kilmore that I've got my eyes on, but there's no prices out, so like, just message me and I might put something out. I don't know, but there's a few at Kilmore that are very interesting.
Yep, Nico.
No, I've got nothing. There's too many good horses to back over the next week than to fish out wide. So there was nothing. I briefly had a glance and there was nothing that caught my eye. I'm happy with the bets that we've had on Saturday and will have. And yep. I'd rather just have them.
Yeah, no worries. I'll have some Hong Kong stuff probably tomorrow or Friday. So same as Will, if you want that, just send me a message. All right, we need a back, we need a lay, and we need a pray. I'll go first. Best bet comes up. Flemington Race 5, the 5, Powers of Opal, able to secure $3, and we've had a good old-fashioned launch. Also backed her to win the Wakeful and the Oaks double at $9. So she looks the one that's crying out for 2,000 metres. I think she'll get back. I think she'll go past them at the 200. And I think she'll win with a leg in the air. My lay of the day will be in the same race. We'll go the old Hamburg with a lot. Number 2, Treasure of the Moment. In the Wakeful, I just got serious question marks on her running a strong 2,000. And my best each way, I think it's a bit of a tough one to have an each way this week, but I'll make it Press Down, race 3 in the Rising Fast. I think he's a good chance. If he doesn't win the race, I think he'll run top 3.
Sweet.
Nick, Will?
No.
My best bet of the weekend will be race 5, Powers of Opals. My best value probably would have to be... Oh, it's a tough weekend for a bit of value. I don't know. I think Politely Done's probably still a touch too big. At $13, I'd probably have him single figures as well. I got two lays this week. My lay of the day is Al Costello in the derby, and Grace Forbes is the other lay. Stick the sword right through both of them.
Asian screens the value. I think Opals is, what's it called? Something Opals, Power of Opals.
Powers of Opals.
Is the one you've got to be on now. I think it'll shorten throughout the week. And
you're going to back it now?
Yeah, I think I will, actually. And I don't know. I think the prices look fairly right to me. I don't need to lay anything at the moment.
All right. Well, that's very exciting because we've all got the best bet. All in a line, all on Powers of Opal Race 5, Flemington.
Does that mean this is three times a stake? There's no podcast multi this week?
There's no podcast multi. Just have it three times. Have your last on it. Take out a home loan deposit.
Oh, don't say that.
Sorry, I'm not. Probably shouldn't have said that. Couple questions.
Someone's going to keep that.
About time you had a bit of a stern opinion.
Tom Punt says, is Vauban value at $7.50 in the Cup all in?
No.
And do you think the prices of the Bendigo Cup and Geelong Cup winners are an overreaction?
I haven't seen them.
I think Vauban should be favourite, and I do think there's been an overreaction. Don't care who wins the Cup as long as it goes to Europe.
Sea King and One Smooth Operator are the two winners that you speak of. I don't think Vauban...
To be fair, they have won. Fucking unreal. But they've won well, but they've beaten
Berkeley Square.
Yeah.
Berkeley Square is a good horse.
Oh, he's a good horse, but Sunset.
I love him.
Berkeley Square had to give Sea King weight. Like, think of it like that. He carried 58 kilos. It's just not fair.
54.5 was a fair rort for Sea King.
Yeah. Vauban might actually be on top for me. I would have Vauban and Absurd, the two top picks right now. I've backed them at, I think I got $11 or $10 and 15s. Mostly Cloudy says Mostly Cloudy. Nico, would you say that the Melbourne Cup is Australia's best race?
No comment.
And Broom Punting says Ballinipatina by how far? It's his favourite horse, so we wish him well.
Length and a half.
I'm going to go, she'll win by a length. Yep.
I reckon she'll get done.
There you go. Bot hasn't even done the race.
You should back Private Eye then, champion.
Ryan Deeth, he's got three more. Nico, when are you going to have a career and change and become a swimsuit model?
Next question from this imbecile.
Bot, would you say you got to be in it to win it?
Completely. He's bang on.
Nico, would you ever be a horse veterinarian?
He's pretty much declared that he is already.
Nico,
head vet of Racing Victoria, has got no idea, but Nico knows.
He's the only one you need to listen to. Tice,
so not are you backing Hinged in the...
Here's a question for you, Nico. Nico, are you backing Hinged in the Rose Hill Cup?
These questions are our men.
They've got him absolutely speechless.
Oh,
tell you what, she looks bloody well placed, Nico.
That is fucking stupid questions. I don't have any time. She looks extremely
well placed. She's escaping the handicapper.
She hasn't been winning.
She
wouldn't beat me fucking down a race.
There's a Kieran Maher horse going there in the Australian bloodstock colours for Craig Williams. Might actually end up getting my money. Angus Jones, another one for Nico. Would Nico prefer dinner with Grace Forbes or Mr. Adolf Hitler?
I'd rather shoot myself than go to dinner with Grace Forbes. Dead set. Fuck her.
You can't say that.
I can. I was asked a question and I fucking answered it, Will.
There you go. That's question answered. And the last one, this might actually be a genuine one from Nathan Ground. Is the mini break between runs better for Traffic Warden given its backing trip to 1,200 metres?
Well, he's had a trial and a jump out since, so they've kept the work up to him. Yeah, I don't think it's a negative.
Yeah, I don't think it's a negative that he was scratched at the barriers at all. It might have been a bad experience. Like, it might be a negative for a mental perspective, but physical, like, no, I've got no issues with it. Like, if you like Traffic Warden in the Cornwall this week, he's third up. He's got the right runs on the board. Run to the Rose, Golden Rose, back to 1,200 metres. You know, that's a proven recipe for a three-year-old, and he comes through the grouse and he has the best ratings in the race. So
him and Switzerland are just nice and fresh where they haven't been to the Everest, where I think Growing Empire, they've asked too much of him, and I think he'll be the flat one of the three.
Yeah, potentially. All right, let's wrap up there, boys. Wednesday podcast. Probably the quality of them probably isn't quite as good as a Thursday when we know a little bit more, but we've had the fields out. We've known the races for a few days, so hopefully it was still enjoyable. Once the Melbourne Cup field comes out, we will decide whether we do something on maybe a Sunday or a Monday.
Preview the big dance. And then
we'll go from there. We'll preview the big dance.
Happy big dance day, punters.
Might just be me and Bot previewing the big dance. All right, thanks, punters.
I will not be doing that
this weekend. And hopefully you can back a winner. We'll see you on course. Out of my mind, or I might be the reason you came in here tonight. It ain't no fun if you don't.